WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Art Salon, showcasing the arts in every form.
Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My name is Sheila White. I'm your host this evening, and we are coming to you on WDIY 88.1 FM. Tonight, we are celebrating recent passage of the third stimulus to help people in our economy just get forward. But there's a big sector in the Lehigh Valley that we do rely on a lot, not just for our entertainment, but for a major economic engine, and that is the arts. So we've asked Cassie Hilgert, President and CEO of ArtsQuest, to explain to our listeners a stimulus package called the Save Our Stages. Cassie, can you give us a little bit of background?
Sure. The Save Our Stages came about because when this pandemic hit, art institutions and entertainment venues were the first to close, and we're going to be the last to open. So very quickly over the course of a couple of weeks or months last year in 2020, we were part of the initiation to create a group called NIVA, the National Independent Venues Association. That's 3,000 independent venues across the country, all who have been impacted. Working together and with Congress, they were able to get $15 billion set aside for the Save Our Stages Fund that was passed in the December stimulus bill, and then an additional $1.25 billion has been allocated in the most recently passed stimulus bill.
And we are coming up on that, or we have just recently passed that year anniversary of all of our stages closing. It was a very somber day, and a year later, so many people are still struggling to earn money in the jobs that we're talking about. So give our listeners an understanding of the jobs that we're talking about with the Save Our Stages stimulus. Who's being impacted by not working?
The Save Our Stages would impact literally everybody that any arts organization employs, the part-timers that are employed, audio tech, lighting tech, food service, everything that goes along with putting on any kind of live performance. Then there are the ancillary impacts in hotel stays and restaurants. So the ripple effect from not having any live performances reaches far and wide. In a non-COVID year, ArtsQuest annual programming would have an annual economic impact over $138 million. That is not money coming into our doors. It's money going into the economy in the form of payroll, the hotel stays I mentioned, restaurants, rentals, audio and lighting equipment. All of that has disappeared as of the pandemic last year.
That's just such an incredible hit. I think because the ripples are so unseen. I mean, in this part of the industry, when it comes to stage presentation, we're not supposed to see the behind the scenes. You know, they stay behind the scenes to suspend that moment of disbelief. But we've got to really shine a spotlight on them right now because, as you said, it is hundreds of people. And you're referencing just the people who are working for ArtsQuest times how many other stages do we have in the Lehigh Valley?
Correct. You look at state theater, civic theater, symphony, all of us are impacted. What has been so difficult right now is this money passed in the stimulus last December. We have yet to see the application from the Small Business Association. That was supposed to be out in early February, and we're all anxiously awaiting. This is truly a lifeline for all of us, and every day that goes by, there are more venues that are shutting down because they can't hang on, and we all want to see the stimulus bills that we've seen for the restaurant industry, the airline industry. There are so many other industries that have gotten that help, and we want that to happen, but we are still out in the wilderness waiting for these funds, and every day that goes by is a day closer to these venues closing their doors permanently.
Oh my gosh. I think there's also a little bit more to the Save Our Stages. You and I were talking a couple of days ago about some other hiccups that have happened for you as a leader. You were also prohibited from applying for other types of relief funds for small businesses.
Correct, and that is what has been so tenuous for us as independent venues. We are being told to wait for the Save Our Stages. Similarly, you cannot apply for a PPP if you're going to apply for Save Our Stages. So we're not accepting dollars that are there for us in the anticipation of this carrot that is being dangled over here. Our hope is they will extend the deadline for applying for a PPP, which is the end of March, right around the corner. And then the worst case scenario there is you could see yourself being blocked out of both. So we are desperately hoping to hear something from the SBA or further clarification from Congress any day, any minute.
Oh my goodness. I mean, my heart's racing just listening to this, Cassie. My heart breaks for everybody in this industry because this is not something you lightly go into. This is passion. This is a drive that makes you work long hours and in the heat. And there's no sitting down on the job when it's showtime. I mean, it's a group of very highly skilled, passionate, dedicated people. And the people that you connect with, for the most part, within the ArtsQuest circle, how are they doing?
You know, they are all over the map. We've all lost someone or have been impacted by this. So outside of the professional passion that they have, there's a very real mental impact on every single person within the ArtsQuest realm. So you always want to keep that forefront. And certainly as we look to open back up, even in limited capacity, it is making sure that everything we are doing is very safe. So we coordinate with the City of Bethlehem's Health Department, who's been a fantastic partner. And any layout that we offer, whether it's in the Music Fest Cafe or out on the Air Products Town Square, they must bless our capacity and our cleaning protocols. So we're trying to inject some confidence both in the staff and in the public that when you come down to any of our programming, it is safe to do so.
And so you've actually opened your doors slightly to do some programming, just in case any of our listeners are unaware. Can you talk to us a little bit briefly about what that means, the safety protocols that you've taken to try to continue programming?
Sure. We have opened up the Palette and Pour, our new first floor restaurant, on Fridays and Saturdays. We also have shows in the Music Fest Cafe presented by Yuengling. Both of those are at limited capacity, so 6 feet apart. You must be wearing a mask over your nose and mouth unless you are sitting down eating and drinking. As hard as this may sound, there is no dancing. And 95% of the performers that we have been putting on are local, and all of them are getting paid. Many of them, this is the only gig that they've had in a year. So we feel it is important to provide hope to the community in a hopeless time. And in small ways that we can do that safely, we will. And we are still offering our very successful cinema rental program, where you can literally rent one of our cinemas, the entire 100 or 200 seats, and bring down your quarantine, right? Your bubble. We are looking to frontline workers too, those that have been vaccinated, to access this because they haven't had any ability to take a break and take their mind off of what they are going through.
So when we're talking about the bubble, how big can that bubble be in a theater?
So when we have 100 seats, really, the limit there is 10, and then in our 200-seat cinema, it's up to 20. So you can see that we're doing basically 10% capacity in either one and staying well within those protocols. And we were able to secure grants last year to acquire electrostatic cleaners. We have upgrades to the HVAC system in the building so that it is cleaning the air of any viruses. So before someone goes into the cinema rental, the entire room is cleaned with the electrostatic cleaners. Then the room is kept empty for a period of time. People can go rent that cinema for 3 hours. When they leave, the entire room is cleaned again with the electrostatic cleaners and left empty until the next rental.
So even though ArtsQuest wasn't able to get any of the PPP loans or any grants like that, the community still supported ArtsQuest to continue some small level of operations.
Yes. Now, last year we did get the PPP, but like everyone else, that only lasted 8 weeks. And so that ran out a very long time ago. Both Lehigh County and Northampton County provided grants to us to help us upgrade all of our cleaning technology to deal with COVID. And we've had wonderful support from Harrisburg and with Senator Boscola in securing grants last year. Mm-hmm. All of those we are through now. And as we look at, while we're excited about the increase in the vaccine rollout, there will be considerable costs that any independent venue will have to open back up. And all we've been using, any revenue that we've had to date, is just to keep the doors open. So again, this is why this SOS funding is so important, not just to give us a lifeline, but that so that we can open back up when the time comes. Mm-hmm. There would be nothing worse than to get through this pandemic and have no resources to be able to open.
Yeah, and just to remind our listeners, SOS is Save Our Stages, and it literally is a beacon call for support. I think what's also helpful for listeners to know with the cleanliness is that the ArtsQuest complex is a new building, so HVAC systems are definitely very good and refreshing the air as frequently as needed for the CDC recommendations. Is that right?
That is correct. So we already had a fairly new HVAC system, but there is technology out there now, that ultralight technology that you can install into the HVAC system to help clean the air of viruses. And that is what we have installed down there, along with the electrostatic cleaners. We also have regular cleaning of all tables, chairs, bathrooms. If you're down there for a palette and pour show on a Friday night, those bathrooms are getting constantly cleaned.
Mm.
And we are still taking temperatures of anybody who enters the building.
Every day.
Every day.
Well, Cassie, I mean, what's so amazing to me is, as an arts leader, as an arts administrator, leader in the community, there are so many skills and awarenesses that one has to have. And this is a whole new level. This is a game-changing level of leadership, of building confidence in the community. How is that working for you? How are you holding up?
I appreciate that. I think we are all holding up the best we can. What I can tell you is, to be able to do anything, to be able to pay performers, to be able to have small groups get together, to feel a level of normalcy is, I think, giving all of our staff and our volunteers, by the way, who keep coming out, it gives us a belief that it's not just a light at the end of the tunnel, but that someday it may be here. So anything we can do to help people cope through a time that none of us have ever lived through, and none of us can imagine what the long-lasting impact is going to be. I can't think of a more important time for all arts organizations to be around, and that is to help us heal as we come through and out of this.
Well, Cassie Hilgert, you are a beacon of hope. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, this is a tough time for everybody, but you've always been a very uplifting leader, always in the trenches. I never see a music fest go by without you. You know, you're not just chumming with the artists. You are chumming with the volunteers and the cleaning crews. And I mean, you're everywhere. You're definitely a bright light. So thank you so much for just yourself.
Thank you for all that WDIY does to give us a platform here to talk about this and hopefully get some of this funding to all of these institutions very soon.
Well, Cassie, we are not done yet. We still have a lot more conversation to go. But listeners, we are talking with Cassie Hilgert, President and CEO of ArtsQuest, about the Save Our Stages program. We are going to take a short break on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. We'll be right back.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Hi, this is Janice Ian. Every Monday night at 7 o'clock, WDIY is keeping the golden age of folk music alive with folk classics. Your host, Steve Aronson, features music from all the singer-songwriters, including yours truly, from the groups, with a little folk rock sprinkled in for good measure. Folk Classics is the show to listen to, Mondays at 7 p.m. on WDIY.
And we're back with Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY 88.1 FM. My name is Sheila White, your host this evening, and we are having a wonderful conversation with Cassie Hilgert, President and CEO of ArtsQuest. We're talking about the Save Our Stages relief bill that is still in process. And I was wondering, Cassie, if you could break down the bill a little bit further. Can you tell our listeners if there are any specific components to that that give us a little bit more understanding of what it is and what it does?
So Save Our Stages, they are waiting for the application to come out from the SBA. That will have the final rules, but the early indications are this. Eligible arts organizations and presenting organizations can apply for up to 45% of their gross revenue from 2019 between April and December. That means ticket sales, food and beverage, any earned revenue. So that is significant for any presenting organization. It does not include, right now, contributions, philanthropic contributions. It doesn't include sponsorships, but that is still a significant number. So to be able to get that at some point in the next several months, it is not an understatement to say it will be the difference between how many independent venues make it through this and how many don't.
Because why? What does that do for the venue?
Well, 45% of your earned revenue from 2019, which for many venues was a record year, is a significant amount of money. And you're talking three or four or fivefold from what you would get if, as an independent venue, you applied for the PPP. So these dollars would not just allow these venues to bring back staff, many of whom have been furloughed or let go, but it would be a lifeline. And when we talk about this ripple effect, you know, every arts organization, whether you're a nonprofit or not, if you're operating a venue, you have debt service. You have fixed monthly costs that we have not been able to just disappear across the board. Meanwhile, there is little to no revenue coming in. So those mounting losses are adding up, and that SOS fund would be critical, as I talked about, to not just keep doors open, but allow us to get back into and investing in all the other industries that we need to run our performances and our programming.
I was wondering if, for our listeners, we can take it outside the Lehigh Valley just for a moment. So let's consider Broadway stages. It's not just the venues themselves, but it's the costume shops that rent their places for their work. It's the sound studios. It's all of these other places. Does that give our listeners just a peek into what we're talking about with these rental costs, these mounting costs that just haven't been able to be paid for a year?
Yes, you go past Broadway, think about every cinema, national or independent. It is also open to museums. Think about every museum that has not been able to generate any revenue. Festivals. We belong to a group called the International Festivals and Events Association. It is literally what it says. It's a group of festivals and events from across the globe. And every month there is a CEO roundtable call to see which one of us is still here. And there are fewer and fewer of us on those calls. And, you know, you're thinking about cultural amenities, which will be so important coming out of this, because we know now people can work remotely. We thought that before this, but it has been proven you can work remotely from almost anywhere. That's going to mean employees can pick where they live. And if you don't have these cultural amenities in your community will not be competitive to attract and retain the creative workforce. So this impact is potentially a long-term one.
Yeah, and that just, I mean, that's beyond a ripple. Now, we're talking an avalanche or a cascade. But also, not to give our listeners an anxiety attack here, but when we're talking about this kind of relief, we're talking about sustaining what has been built here over years of dedication and philanthropy from our foundations and from our local corporations. It'd be a shame for it to just up and poof, go away.
You know, when you look back to Music Fest and when it started in 1984, one of the reasons why we felt music was so apropos to create a festival around in Bethlehem was because you already had a rich tapestry in the Bach Festival. You had Godfrey Daniels. There was already an eclectic mix of venues in this valley that we felt we could build upon. To potentially lose all that would set us back well over four decades if you had to start that over again.
And the other thing that I wish, and I'm sure our listeners, since they are WDIY listeners and very culturally savvy, this kind of culture is something that is not just archive. This is live and breathing, and it has to be fed continuously in order for the next generation to appreciate and understand and build upon.
So it is an ecosystem.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, that's a great word. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, you used to have to watch the weather every day during Music Fest. That was the thing that was like, okay, are we going to be good? Is it going to be a good day because of the weather?
Yes.
Now we're looking at R-naught figures, and we're looking at COVID cases, and we're looking at the CDC vaccine rollouts. What do you look at now in terms of forecasting? When will we get back to normal? Because you have to do that. You have to be forecasting to be prepared, right?
Yes, we are forecasting, and we rely on associations like IFEA that I mentioned. We are in weekly contact with the City of Bethlehem's Health Department. We are watching every day the cases in both Lehigh and Northampton County, and then listening from the federal level where we think vaccines are going to be. So we are planning a robust summer series of concerts out on the Levitt Lawn and on the Air Products Town Square, but that certainly gets us to Music Fest and trying to have a crystal ball into what the social distancing guidelines will be at that time is extraordinarily difficult. We are certainly planning for contingencies. We have scenarios from A to Z that we have to look at on a daily basis.
Mm. Are you thinking that there might be a button? I'm fully vaccinated. You know, people can actually wear to kind of ease concerns about clustering.
Well, you know, that is where we know we are an arts organization. And as much as we have become amateur infectious disease specialists, we do not want to put the public's risk for their health there. So what we will do is we will have to put our flag in the ground at some point and say, here's the number of people that we are being told we can safely gather and go with that. If it changes over time as we get closer to larger events like Music Fest, then we've got plans to be able to ramp up if we are allowed to. But we will always fall on the conservative side when it comes to health and safety guidelines. And as much as we want to get the entire community back together again, we'd rather do that safely than become a super spreader event.
So let me ask you this. I'm sure you've seen it because it was one of the previous headliners at a Music Fest. The Flaming Lips did this concert in, I think it was in Oklahoma, where they had the people in the audience in these large plastic bubbles.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Okay, so I first of all had the most visceral reaction to that, thinking, who is cleaning those? So, yeah. Number one, right off the bat, I did not want to have that responsibility. But, you know, in looking at that, we looked at drive-ins last year. We looked at how can you socially distance people. The issue there becomes the size of your footprint. And concert industry is economies of scale. So there is a point where if you can't bring in a certain number of people, you are not covering the cost of the stage, of the performer, of all the staff that is associated with putting that on, security, parking. So what we have heard over last summer when we saw drive-in concerts in Philadelphia and elsewhere, those all lost money.
Ooh.
So it is a very difficult thing to do in a socially spaced area when you've got a large headliner. Now, again, when our ability to be able to use the Air Products Town Square and the Levitt Lawn and space people out by 6 feet and to be able to give local and regional performers paying gigs, that has been much more beneficial to everyone involved.
Mm, of course, yeah. I can't imagine trying to cover the cost of a headliner. I mean, the public wouldn't even pay a ticket price to cover all of those costs.
It'd be
astronomical.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't ask the performers to cut their fee by, you know, 3/4 to do that because they have the same issue, especially if they're touring. They've got all the infrastructure that is required when you've got a national tour in trucks and roadies and equipment and all of that. So they've got to charge a certain amount in order to recoup their costs.
So, Cassie, let me just try to close this program with something very uplifting, shall we? We've got some wonderful weather coming up. We've got some great artists that you are planning on doing in small venues, and you've done some virtual pieces as well. What gives you hope as we are entering warmer temperatures and brighter suns?
Being outside means we can simply do more. We can spread more people out. We can have programming throughout the week and the weekend. And I will tell you that we have learned some things that we never would have but for the pandemic. And you must find these silver linings. And one of them you mentioned was virtual programming. To stream Music Fest and to broadcast it over Service Electric like what happened last year, we heard from people who were able to see and go to the festival who never could, whether it was because of physical disability, whether it was because the anxiety around being in large crowds. They got to feel like every other person who attends Music Fest in person, and that to us was a goosebump moment of truly increasing access to the arts for all, which is our mission.
That's incredible. That really does give you goosebumps. Wonderful. Well, Cassie Hilgert, you are, again, an incredible person to have in our community. We are so grateful that you keep coming to work every day and do what you do to keep this wonderful energy into that industry that keeps the Lehigh Valley such a great place to live and work. Thank you so much for joining us. Cassie Hilgert, President and CEO of ArtsQuest.
Well, thank you very much, and I truly draw my energy from the community, our volunteers, and our staff that are putting us all on their shoulders right now through this.
I also want to thank listeners for sticking with us tonight. It's always a wonderful opportunity to just share the stories of our artists in the area with you. My name is Sheila White. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Good night.